ImpactWrestlingRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock with God.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rock, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegai shimasu.
What? Ojigana Mata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Good evening. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by TweetAudio.com and, of course, PWMania.com. I am your host, what the hell, Lindsay Ward, and joining me tonight, as always, is my awesome producer, Rock.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, as always.
And, of course, our good buddy, the awesome Aussie who will mess up your face, Mace.
Really? My name's not AJ Lee last time I checked. I don't have a, you know, slap club or anything like that.
I didn't say you'd mess up their face with a slap. You just mess up their face. You were doing a damn good job of it last night.
Yeah, alcohol plus pissed off equals very focused for zombie killing.
She was very impressed with your shooting abilities last night.
I was very impressed.
I was on American levels.
You were, dude. I'm like, they need to draft him for the military, because, yeah. Just war shit, it'd be over ASAP if we just sent Mace. Just saying. Anyway, we have show,
and we have stuff, and we're going to talk about lots of the stuff tonight.
And most of all, we has rants.
Yes, we have rants.
Rebel. But first, before we get to all that stuff, we has a question of the night.
We do's.
And for some reason, we're speaking in LOL cat. Deal with it, folks. Our question
okay,
of the
before
night.
You get, before you get the question of the night.
Huh.
All right. I just want you to do something for me.
What?
Say the word I just put in the chat.
Say the word you just put in the chat.
Production chat.
Mario Kart.
Lindsay's all right. Rock, I want to slap. I'm sorry. Sorry to sort of jump into a rant mode so early. I was watching a video on Kotaku, basically the first impressions of the Wii U were starting to hit the net. Mm-hmm. And they had a video of people in the American Kotaku office playing the Wii U. And everything was Mario Kart. Mario. Not Mario. Mario.
Yeah, it's Mario.
Exactly.
Hey, Mace.
Lindsay gets it.
Hey, Mace, it's accent. Deal with it.
Fuck you and your accent. you're speaking an Italian's name, for fuck's sake.
Wow. Okay, anyway. Moving on from that.
Let's talk about accent.
The question tonight is as follows. Out of these men, Bobby Roode, James Storm, and AJ Styles, which man has had the best career in TNA thus far?
I will say it's been very one-sided so far, but all the responses I've gotten.
And when we get to TNA, oh, James Storm. Oh, you lovable, stupid man, you. But before we get there, we got news.
We have
and actually
news.
A lot more. today, but...
Let's talk about it. What's going on?
Let's talk about it. I think the some of the biggest news, at least, because a couple people got released. They were developmental. They don't count.
No one knows who they are.
Nobody knows who they are. Is that Cody Rhodes is hurt.
Yes, Cody Rhodes has a boo-boo on the head and the shoulder.
Yeah, if you did not see Main Event this past week, one, go watch it because it's hilarious. Two, Cody Rhodes took a very nasty bump after taking a back body drop from Kane and landed on his shoulder and the side of his head. He concussed himself, and thankfully that's all he did, or at least that's all we've heard. So hopefully he is at present recovering.
Motherfucker did it, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, and
yeah.
You know. Jeff Hardy can still get up and walk away. Cody Rhodes, not so much. Apparently, according to his brother, Dustin Rhodes, you can follow him on Twitter, he was talking about how Dustin, I believe, Cody is going for an MRI tomorrow.
Yeah, the rumor is that Cody is going to be assessed either tomorrow or Saturday to see if he can move forward with the pay-per-view on Sunday. And if not, well, they're going to have to find a replacement.
And did you hear one of the replacement names?
No.
He's no longer a lord, but he is a Tensai.
Yeah, even further reason not to buy this pay-per-view.
Okay. I shall break in here and give you wrestling wisdom.
Wrestling wisdom?
Is a 10-man tag team match. Mm-hmm. You can hide Cody very, very well in a batch of 10 men.
You can,
He spends 90% of the time on the apron, comes out, takes a quick finish... Or a quick roll-up, 1, 2, 3, he's eliminated. No injury to Cody, no aggravation, no nothing.
But he wasn't looking so good the other night, so...
As long as he can get on his feet and walk, you can put him back in there, have him take a quick roll-up, and then put him straight out of the match. Have him the first guy gone.
This is true.
Instead of having to fuck with the match at last second and put in somebody who has no point in being anywhere near the ring.
WWE.com right now currently has a list of people who, you know, could replace him, which includes Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yes.
David Otunga.
Only if he is El Local.
El Local, yeah. You have David Otunga, they put in Tensai, and Michael McGillicuddy. And Matt Stryker, and that's it.
What, Matt Stryker and his porn stash?
Well...
I'm sorry, that's what that fucking thing is. It's a porn mustache.
He's growing it for Movember.
I don't care! Trim that bitch! It looks awful!
You're not allowed to in what Rob Parks calls No Shave November.
Well, fine. You don't have to shave it. Wax it. I don't care. It's ugly.
Okay.
Don't mess with me. I'm a girl. I know all kinds of beauty stuff.
I'm not... moving right along.
Anyways...
Her beauty foo is strong.
Yes, my beauty foo is strong.
See,
speaking
you almost made
foo.
The same mistake I did.
Yep. And speaking
Mind
of Mind
you,
cool,
it's not a bad mistake. Booty foo is quite good, too.
Yes. Well, speaking of booty foo, AJ Styles has signed a publishing deal with VIP Inc. to write an autobiography. Styles, the book, will cover his life from both in and outside the ring, and it will highlight being brought up in a military family that struggled with poverty and alcoholism. I believe the publisher went on to go, quote, Styles is a devoted Christian and has stated on many occasions that it's God first and family second. This autobiography will have his fans gasping for more, as they will be able to appreciate Styles' life from his severe beginnings to his TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
So in other words, it's going to be preachy as a motherfucker and basically be Yay Go America.
Pretty much.
With a little bit of wrestling thrown in.
Probably.
Well, we look forward to giving away the ebook at some point. We probably won't read the motherfucker, but we'll give it away.
1 point, Mace.
Yeah, well done, Mace. Well played.
Thank you.
And speaking of things walking away, CM Punk is probably ecstatic because he's garnered supposedly a role on his most favorite show, not Monday Night Raw, The Walking Dead. Reportedly, CM Punk will be filming a walk-on role with the TV show at some point. Don't know when, but I'm sure he...
season 3. Because I think they've wrapped up. Sorry, we're on season 3 now. Season 4.
Yeah, they should search.
And if they're going in the direction I believe that they are, he could either be a zombie or a raider from another settlement.
Either way, I'm sure he's squeeing. And I may have to go find him if I'm back in Atlanta, because I do know where they shoot that show. It used to be... they shoot it right around where I used to live, so... I may have to go find CM Punk.
If Punk is not a zombie in this, I want to see him give a zombie a GTS.
We had at it.
Just random. Just random as hell. Just walk on, pick up a zombie, GTS, and walk off.
I like to see and that.
And it'd be even funnier if it was Paul Heyman zombie.
John Cena zombie.
Even better.
Oh. All right, so we're going to get into this. I'll set this up, and then I'll let the two of them rant, because that's basically the news for the week. Things happened on Monday Night Raw, didn't they?
Just a little.
Now, before we get into it, the big angle on Monday Night Raw was the return of Jerry Lawler. And according to the ratings chart, that garnered 745,000 additional viewers. For a high quarter hour of 3.38.
You bastards.
By the end of the angle, they had lost 876,000 viewers.
Woohoo!
People did not like this angle, including Lindsay Ward and Mace.
And I'd like to point out, I've read further, that this angle has been planned for weeks, apparently. And it was agreed upon by all the parties involved. Mick Foley, CM Punk, Jerry Lawler, and Paul Heyman all agreed to do this. It was planned weeks in advance, and from what everybody is hearing, nobody in the back was so much surprised by the angle, because it's how Vince thinks. And there wasn't a lot of heat on it as far as what they did in the ring. The heat is apparently coming from, at least from inside the company, the footage of Jerry Lawler being resuscitated and the fact that they showed that.
That was my biggest problem. Everything else was just, you know, icing on the cake at that point. But my biggest problem was the video footage of him in the ambulance and stuff. You didn't need to see that. Especially without a warning.
Yeah. So, Mace, do you want to go first?
Sure, why not? Before all this started, I was disgusted with the entire way it played out. From the fact that you showed the video of Jerry Lawler's heart attack as a recap package. I understand that they were probably doing that for emphasis. But a graphic would have done just as well.
Before you continue, they shouldn't have even been filming it.
No, I sort of get the idea of why. Because if... and we're going to play hypothetical what-ifs here. If Lawler had died, and whoever manages his estate tried to put a lawsuit against WWE saying that they did not take any measures or anything to try and save Lawler... they have proof.
I get that point. It's just really creepy.
It is very creepy, but legal mind, I can agree with what they've done, but to take that footage and turn it into a wrestling angle, I don't agree with that. That is horrible.
Horrible.
That's like taking, well, why not? Let's make this example. Eddie Guerrero's death and turning it into a storyline. Oops, wait, they did that as well.
Oops.
And they copped shit for it back then, too.
They did. but I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue your rant.
No, that's fine. It's one of these things in wrestling where we keep clamoring for Attitude Era. We keep clamoring for pushing the envelope. But the thing is, there's a difference. There's pushing the envelope, and then there's stepping over the line completely. And that's what this whole Lawler thing on Monday night was. It was a step over the line. You know, reference the heart attack to the, you know, Kingdom Come. Got no issue with that. When you turn what almost was a man's death into just another storyline and do it in such a manner that it has a lot of people double guessing what happened that night, whether it was all a put on or something, whether it was just an angle. You know, it's stepping over the boundary is a good taste. And there have been many examples where they've done this before. Eddie Guerrero's death was done as well. I personally find the Brian Pillman home invasion angle in poor taste too. Because that's glorifying breaking and entering and assault. You know, it's one thing to do things in an over-the-top manner, but you got to realize that you want to try and work these things within the legal letter of the law, because they have, you know, thousands of viewers that actually stick around through an entire show, most of them little kids, who see this stuff, and if you're glorifying it and making the fact that you can make fun of somebody who's just had a heart attack as, you know, no big deal, that's not teaching the kids any morals. That's destroying the fucking moral fiber of the fucking world. That's exactly what they've done. And frankly, like, I know that they're all okay with it. You know, Lawler signed off it. Heyman, Punk, everybody. They all signed off on it because it's what Vince does. But you got to realize at some point that somebody's going to have to fucking turn around to Vince and go, hold on, dude, we're stepping over the line here. You know, I know you're trying to get back to your edgier roots, but, dude, you can do edgy stuff without having to take what was a very genuine, very heartfelt moment and turning it into a piece of shit. And it reflected in the ratings.
It did. And think about it. The moment with Lawler and King, Lawler and JR that hung, that was fantastic. The smirk Lawler had when he was about, before he hugged Michael Cole, that was such great television.
Yeah, and it was proved. They gained, what, 700 and something?
745,000 viewers they gained at that top of the hour spot, which is a high number for them.
Yeah. And then by the end of it, by the time I would say Heyman did the heart attack, which I swear to God, Heyman should fucking know better. He's the guy who did most of the envelope pushing back in the day. He should fucking know better. And Punk should know better as well, considering he has the ear of creative. He should fucking know better as well. But they lost 876,000 viewers by the end of it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, and it wasn't even the biggest loss of the night, which was fucking surprising.
Well, it's not really surprising when you consider who was in the one the person.
Yeah, well, yeah. But still, you know, you've got a bunch of guys who should know better.
Right.
In the ring, all signing off on what is essentially a stupid idea.
Right.
Why? Because McMahon still rules everything with an iron fist, and they just fucking shit their pants whenever they go to say no to Vince. That's all it is. And I swear to God, if they don't read these numbers and realize that they fucked up, these numbers are going to fucking continue. Because they haven't broke a proper, like, end of show 3.0 in a long time.
No, the quarter hour, and that was surprising that they didn't.
I don't give a flying fuck about the quarter hour. The quarter hours don't mean shit. The one that means shit is that final rating.
Oh, I understand.
Because that's what's the overall show.
Oh, I understand.
I'll tell you, like I told you, we have maths on this show.
Right.
I sat there. I went through the gains and losses for the quarter hours mm-hmm. at the assumption that at start of the show they start at zero and then gain the viewers. Right?
Yeah, we go with that assumption.
Yeah, because we're not giving a starting number at the start of the show and then see how much has grown from there.
Well,
so
yeah.
We're under the assumption that they start at zero.
Yes, we'll go with that.
And then in the first 15 minutes, they gain X amount of viewers. Overall, once you take the gains and losses into perspective, the entire time of Raw only kept 29,000 viewers for 3 hours. Now, considering that it's 2.7 million in the gains and losses alone, that's a lot of people to lose.
Yeah.
I don't think that numbers are totally accurate, but okay.
I know that they're not overly accurate because we can't get access to that shit. Nor do they publish exact numbers, nor do they say, okay, it starts from X and goes to Y.
I know.
But just going off their gains and losses.
All right.
Overall, they were in the positive by 29,000 viewers.
Okay, all right. I'll give you a number. I actually have a number for you. NCIS Los Angeles, which aired at 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday night, right before Monday Night Raw, had a total viewership of 2.211 million people. So they start with a 2 million base, basically.
Okay, so at maximum, they had 2,729,000 viewers.
Give or take.
And then give or take. And then they lost 2.7 million. Over the gain of the night. What I am saying is they, when you have something like the Lawler shit that drops almost a million viewers, and then you have another segment later in the night that loses again close to a million viewers. People have got to start seeing this and seeing the writing on the wall.
Can I drop another number on you?
Sure.
They lost 21% viewership in males during the show.
Now that's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that number today. I was like, ooh, that's a number.
21% in males.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is an overall demographic, not specific demographic.
I didn't hear the number, the specific. I didn't catch that much. All I heard was males, and they lost 21%, which is their key demographic. So.
I just think, like, you couple the Lawler segment and how much it gained and then lost. When you're starting under what you started with going into that segment, it's in bad taste.
Yes.
And the viewers have responded, telling you, we don't want to see this.
You had people like Jerry Jarrett and Stone Cold Steve Austin who were basically came out and said, stuff like this should not happen. Jerry Jarrett said he turned off his television.
Good.
Steve Austin basically said death should never be a part of the angle whatsoever. If a guy, you know...
No, I agree with Austin on that one.
He sat behind... A guy, has issues behind the death. That should never be brought up on television. That flat out. That's what he said. Paraphrasing, basically. But yeah, he said basically that should never happen. Should never talk about it. Should never be a part of an angle.
Yeah. Like, I can understand, and Ken Kittens has made a decent point in the chat, that there's a difference between Lawler making a joke or making light about it.
Right.
It was his event. It happened to him.
Right.
So if he wants to make light of it in order to help himself with the process, like the moving on process, by all means, let him.
And he did in the speech. He said, from the bottom of my heart, and he also said when they brought out the ambulance during the Ryback Brad Maddox match, he heard, oh, here comes my ride.
Yeah. Like, that's fine.
That's fine. I'm okay
with that. If the guy who the event happened to wants to make a joke about it, let him. Yeah. It's a part of the process. But when you have a company, an entertainment company, try to make light of it and turn it into a joke or turn it into whatever the hell like they want to try and do with it, that's where you step over the line.
Correct.
Right.
Now, Mace, this is...
I'm a lot calmer. Like, believe me, if I had a chance to do this yesterday, it would have been a lot more profound.
I understand. This is where we now make the tag to Lindsay.
Tag in! Hot tag! I have to agree 100% with Mace, and I'm pretty much going to say the same thing. To me, Heyman faking the heart attack... and Punk doing the resuscitation, not that I saw it, I didn't get to that point pretty much. I made it to where they showed the footage, Lawler gave his thank you, and then Punk came out and I said, oh, to hell with this, and turned off the show, because I figured they would turn it into an angle, and I really didn't want to see them do that. I hate the fact that Vince and that company feels the need to turn everything into an angle. You know, Jerry Lawler suffered a massive heart attack at ringside. The fact that he's alive is a goddamn miracle. And I don't think it's something that should be turned into an angle. Yes, I understand that he signed off on it and he said it's okay and that makes it a little bit better, but it's just something as a wrestling fan I don't want to see because I don't want to be reminded of what happened that night. And I can remember us all sitting here going, oh God, he's dead. He's dead, oh fuck, he's dead. And being so relieved when we found out that he's gonna be okay. I think the more troubling thing was the fact that they filmed it, and I get that they filmed it for quote unquote legal purposes. But the fact that they filmed it and then they showed it. That's going too far over the line. I mean, it's, you show that and I already don't want to be reminded of everything that happened. I definitely don't want to see it. And then you couple it with what you did with Heyman and Punk. Just the whole thing was in poor taste. Especially this close to it happening.
Oh, sorry, I'm just reading the chat room. I've got, again, Ken Kitten's making a thing. Could you imagine what would happen now if Owen's tragedy happened? Vince would do something disgusting. I wish I hadn't closed it now because...
Andrew Goldstein tweeted after that segment and up next the Owen Hart tragedy or something to that effect.
Yeah, he made a tweet. I'll pull it up as we're going here. Because I mentioned it to Lindsay last night as we were preparing the show. Goddamn, he tweets a lot. here we go. Hey guys, late to Raw. What time does the Owen Hart falling from the rafters footage air?
Yeah.
I go to lordsofpain.net a lot. And there was somebody who made... a comment that I wouldn't be surprised if Vince ever did this. Basically, the comment, and I'll have to paraphrase it because I can't find the exact thing. The WWE is going to drop somebody from the rafters on the ring post to announce Owen Hart's Hall of Fame induction. Okay,
wouldn't surprise me.
Bad taste, but you know what? Given the way Vince handled this, I wouldn't be fucking surprised if he did that.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was just... And the where they stuck it as well, you stuck it right at the top of the second hour, primetime television, so you know it's going to get the most exposure, and I understand why they did that, but you still got kids up. You still got kids watching. And that's the whole thing, is it's kids are going to see this, and it's going to leave an impression on them. And your product is supposed to be PG. That's the thing.
As much as we don't like the PG.
As much as we don't like the PG, although I'm indifferent to it one way or another, but as much as most people don't like the PG, your product is PG, and showing something like that and doing something like that is not.
No. And 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever, maybe at this point, God, it's been forever, they had something called the Parent Television Council up their ass anytime they made a move.
Yeah.
And now we haven't heard a peep.
I actually think they disbanded.
Probably,
but,
probably that's why. But you know what I mean, some group out there hasn't spoken up about it. And the whole point, everyone was talking, oh, this was to get Punk heat. This is to get heat on Punk. Has anyone actually said that, that you've, you know, read or anything? Like,
no.
It's, look what WWE did.
Yeah, the heat is solely on WWE with this. I mean, there are people who are throwing insults at Punk, and it did work on some people, but on a lot of levels, more people are pissed off with Vince McMahon and creative and the company for pulling this shit. And rightfully so. I mean, it's, somebody should have said to Vince, no, I don't think this is going to be a good idea. And it's one thing to have Lawler come out and celebrate the fact that he's alive. That's what we were expecting, and that's frankly what should have been done. Because at least in my book, you don't mock death.
No.
You absolutely do not mock death. He's damn lucky to be alive, and when you do that kind of shit, it always backfires. Always.
And think about what happened 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Raw. The company at its highest point came out and donated $1 million to charity on live television.
Yep.
And then 2 weeks later, this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it was a bad move, it was bad judgment, and somebody should have said no. Somebody really should have said no. And this is going to kind of transition, I'm going to transition this now into our first discussion topic of the evening, because we want to do this all up front and get this out of the way, and then we're going to do the rest of the show, but this is the topic everybody has kind of beaten to death, especially in a PG product. Where is the line anymore for the WWE? Because it seems so convoluted and so blurred, where it's like, oh, we're not going to do this because we're PG, but then they turn around and they do something like the Punk shit that they did Monday night, where it's edgier, it's racier, and I figured once Linda McMahon lost, that's when they were going to start amping it back up again. I don't think they'll go to the level of Attitude Era, but they're going to start getting edgier. But where is that line? I mean, do we even know anymore?
After Monday? It's tough. It's tough to say what they won't do.
After Monday, they turned around and said, we don't know where the line is now.
Yeah. And that's disturbing. It's like I told Rock Monday night, or last night when we were prepping the show after you went to bed or after you left, you know, it's this, for me, this angle is right up there with Katie Vick.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it exactly on the same level, maybe a touch below it. I'd put this on the same level as the Pillman invasion, home invasion.
Yeah.
I'd put this on anything that they've used Eddie Guerrero's death. I'd put this up there with the, oops, let's remove Chris Benoit from wrestling history. Because we went out there and made him into a hero before we realized that he did what he did.
Yeah. And the whole thing, and it's like, I wish they would establish that line. I wish they would come out and they would say, because it's like, even with Attitude Era, even after the Attitude Era, you knew where the line was. There wasn't much of one, but you knew how far they were willing to go with something. And here you just, it's like, what the hell?
In the Attitude Era, they crossed a lot. They crossed lines that fit. It was pushed in the envelope to get characters over in a certain fashion.
It wasn't even that. It wasn't crossing the line. It was bending the line.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's a better term. Bending the line.
They would work within the boundaries of the FCC or, you know, whatever television commissions are around there in the US.
Right.
They'd work within those boundaries, but they'd push it to the point where it would get close to stepping over the line, and then they'd pull it back.
Right, because the FCC was up their ass at that point. When they were really edgy, the FCC was up their ass.
Actually, what's kind of sad in thinking about this and looking at this and talking about this isn't even really that, as far as for them, especially comparing it to the things that they've done in the past, that edgy.
No, but that also comes down to the change in society. We're now a more politically correct society. We understand that there are certain matters now that are considered more taboo than they used to be.
Right.
And there's lines that you do not cross. There are topics you do not breach. You know, it's like, you know, don't turn around to, you know, don't go over anything that's over an NC-17 rating or whatever. You know, or stuff like that. That's what the deal is, you know. They are an entertainment medium. They should be sticking within the guidelines of their product. They want to be a PG television show? Fine. Stick to the guidelines of a PG television show.
Yeah. And that, at least in my opinion, it may have been somewhat PG. It's probably more PG-13. But it doesn't send the right message. It's like, you can get a guy over as a heel and send an okay message to the kids. This just sent the completely wrong message. And it's, yeah, it was just wrong. It was in poor taste. And it makes me glad. I actually smiled because Rock tweeted me this morning with the number of people that tuned out for that segment. Because I told him last night, I hope they feel a backlash. I hope they realize how poorly done that segment was. And they feel it. And they have. They're probably not going to do anything about it. They frankly probably don't even care that they lost almost 1 million people. But at least enough people had the common sense to look at that and go, oh, hell no, and turn it off.
I bet if they had sponsors pulling out like they used to do when this type of thing happened, they'd be caring. But then again, they're still making money hand over fist. So why do they care?
Exactly.
Let's make fun of a guy almost dying on our television show. Ha ha, but we're making millions of bucks. Who gives a shit? What's a man's life worth? Well, we can tell you exactly how much when we take a look at his contract.
Right.
That's the attitude I'm getting from the company. We don't give a shit about our talent. We'll if they die, who gives a shit? Less money for us to pay. But hey, their death will mean ratings go up, means we get more sponsorship dollars. Good on us.
Yeah, I mean, it cheapens everything they've done. The fact that, you know, it didn't get brought up that the company covered Jerry's medical cost. It wasn't brought up that they're doing all these positive things, and instead it's, oh yeah, we're going to mock this. And again, I understand. Jerry Lawler and everybody involved signed off on it.
Right, and it started bad. If they, okay, I can understand, let's CM Punk come out and mock him once. Okay, I got it, that's funny. Ha ha, good one, Vince. But it started with footage you should never air. And that's where it left everyone's bad taste.
Yeah, this is not okay. This is not remotely comfortable. It was very awkward. And there was no warning. And that's the thing. It's like, I understand the footage was not that graphic. But you know, don't see them doing the CPR, but yeah. This is somebody, and everybody's going to laugh at me when I say this, but for a lot of wrestling fans, Jerry is one of the family. He's been the voice of Monday Night Raw for what? Over 10 years? 10, 15 years?
Since 1994, 95?
Okay. Almost 20 years. Jerry has been the voice of Monday Night Raw. He's one of the family. he's somebody that a lot of wrestling fans have grown up with hearing his voice. And he's very respected. He's very looked up to. So as a fan, seeing somebody that you look up to in that position, it's very uncomfortable. It's very awkward. You don't want to see anybody like that. But especially somebody that you hold in high regard. And the least they could have done is had Michael Cole come back on screen or had somebody say the content you're about to see is graphic or some kind of warning. Something that says, you know, we are going to show you footage of the heart attack. So that way if people didn't want to see it, they could turn it off. Or they could walk out of the room or whatever.
Correct.
I mean, if that is the product that you're, if you're presenting a PG product, that's what you do. Honestly, seriously, that's what you do. You put a warning up saying the content you're about to see is not meant for children, it's not, or it's graphic, or whatever.
And that's the thing. WWE believes that as long as they put up that little graphic at the start of the show that says, please don't try this at home, they're absolved of any and all guilt that they might show on their show.
No, they're not. They don't care. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing is that we're taking away from this, is WWE really doesn't care.
Well, they went from showing that they care about the person when the event happens. It's the after the fact
yeah.
that has changed. You know, like, we all had WWE in very high regards when the heart attack happened. How quickly they jumped on top of it. How quickly they got him in an ambulance. You know, they paid for his medical. They paid for on-site doctors to meet him at the airport and everything the second he got discharged. And, you know, they went above and beyond the call of duty. I'm not going to, you know, denigrate any of that. You know, they did extremely well handling the situation when it happened. To turn around and go, hey, we can make money from this? That's disgusting.
There's a difference between them, their off-screen image and their on-screen image. And their on-screen image took a hit. Big time.
Yes.
Well, I think their off-screen image took a hit as well.
I don't know.
Not as big of a hit.
They'll do some more charity shit and be a star and all that crap, and
yeah,
it'll quickly get shipped under the rug.
Yes. Yeah, they're everything else they do will be fine. But on air, they're going to have to rebound from it.
And it's going to take a lot for them to rebound, at least for me personally. I mean, I wasn't initially going to buy the pay-per-view anyway, but I'm not even going to watch the pay-per-view this week because of what happened Monday night. Not only did they not sell me on that show, mainly because I only watched an hour of it, but what I saw in that hour wasn't interesting me at all. But then they go and they pull something like this. And it's just like, oh, fuck you. And that's exactly...
I'd say at minimum, they need to issue an apology on their website. At minimum. Saying that... Admitting that they should have warned us before they showed the footage. And that the segment was in poor taste.
Michael called during the segment did mention it, this was in poor taste. I will give Michael Cole a lot of credit for that.
Yes, but that's very quickly,
it's quickly
hidden
for you.
Within the flow of time, and can also be very easily edited out of any extra broadcast.
Oh, I understand. I trust me, I understand completely, but I do respect him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still
reckon at minimum an apology needs to be issued.
Yeah, he said something to the effect of, this was not the entertainment we were trying to provide, yada, 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 stuff like that. Which, I commend him for stepping up and putting that out there.
Which means that they saw Twitter blow up.
Yes.
Is what happened. That's why that comment got made, because they sit there and they watch Twitter during the shows, and they're in their little radio headsets, probably somebody said, oh fuck, Twitter's blowing up and this is not good.
Yeah, so.
We've pissed people off and we didn't do it the right way.
And you know, at the end of all this, the one person that I am still very pissed off at, Paul Heyman. Because Heyman has continued this shit on Twitter all week. Going so far as having a laugh at the injuries of UFC fighters. You know, as much of a great creative mind Heyman is, I swear to God, he just wants to keep crossing that fucking line. He just wants to keep going, keep pushing. And that pisses me off more than anything, is somebody who does not learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But on that note, now that we've gotten that out of the way...
That was a really long news segment.
Yeah, it was a really long news segment, but I think we all had to get that off our chest. Yes, Weekend Has Break. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to have our Impact review, and we're going to talk all about what happened tonight, and you get rant number 2 from me.
Woohoo!
Oh, James Storm. Oh, how I love you, yet I want to smack the fuck out of you at the same time. So, when we come back, we have our Impact review. So until then, sit back, relax, go get a Coke, go take a bathroom break, and you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Sometimes I think that it's better to never ask why.
Whoa, ho, ho, everybody. Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com reminding you that every Friday night we get deep. That's right. Have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m. with my Wake Up Call. We talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppens, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's 4 styles and 6 colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, tweaked classic, tweaked parkour, and tweaked natural. Tweaked audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Radio.com, brought to you by TweakedAudio.com and PWMania.com. If you're just joining us, you missed our rant about Monday Night Raw and the news and notes segment of the week, as well as our question of the night, which, Brock, what is our question of the night?
Our question of the night goes as follows. Out of these three men, Bobby Roode, James Storm, and the phenomenal AJ Styles, which man has had the best career in TNA?
And speaking of TNA, well, there was an Impact tonight. But
before you jump into Impact, can I just say how apropos that music was when we were coming back from break?
You liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, because it's a nice little transition, because we go from, you know, WWE crossing the line to, you know, everybody's doing the same thing. Words that seems to be very, very good in the TNA vocabulary lately. Considering that they've recently acknowledged the fact that WWE has stolen their open.
Well, if you... at least the rumor I heard was that somebody in the WWE actually did acknowledge the fact that they ripped off the opening. I forget who it was, but somebody showed it to Vince and said, we can do it better, and so that's what they did.
Yeah. I read the same thing, and then they somebody tweeted Eric Bischoff about it.
Yeah, so, well, it seems that they're not competition, but they are competition, because, you know, when they start stealing ideas.
Yeah, because, you know, we can't seem to find any parallels between Impact and Raw these days, you know. The AJ scandal, opening of the show.
Those
are I'm just wondering when TNA's going to start stealing WWE's bad ideas. Oh, wait, they don't. They just have better wrestling.
Yeah. They do.
Anyway, on to Impact.
On to Impact. Speaking of better wrestling and wrestlers in some case, the show opens tonight with our new number one contender, crowned last Sunday at Turning Point, is the one, the only, the very hot-looking Cowboy James Storm. Comes down to the ring and he says, hey, I can compliment him, don't snicker at me.
I didn't say a word.
Storm comes down to the ring and he says that the past year has been a long, hard road, but he did it! He hasn't won any war, but he'd like to say thank you to some people. He thanks the fans, he thanks his family, and he thanks the people who said that he couldn't do it. He said that the detractors kept him going all these years. However, the celebration gets interrupted when the It Factor, Bobby Roode, comes out to the ring, and he has raided James Storm's beer. Brave son of a bitch. He comes down to the ring with two bottles of beer in his hand, and he says he's not here to spoil the party. No, no. In fact, he's here to join it. He offers Storm a beer, and Storm, of course, takes it. And Bobby offers a toast of the of his own. He toasts Storm for pinning AJ Styles, and he sarcastically gives more props to Storm and the fans as they will watch him fail again, becoming the world champion. Then Rude, well, crosses a line of his own, and he brings up James Storm's little girl, Michaela, which, of course, sets Storm off just a little bit. And Rude then goes, they're going to have to pick up the pieces when Storm loses, take his ball, and then Storm's going to take his ball and go home again. Rude then knocks Storm's beer out of his hand and takes a swig from the bottle, and that's when Storm basically has enough, asks Bobby if he was done running his yap, and punches him.
Not just his yap, his bottle sucker.
Yeah.
That was the line he used. Are you done running your bottle sucker?
Which was actually pretty awesome.
I like that line. That was pretty good.
That was a good line. The two start to fight, and then Bobby Roode runs away while Storm is setting up for the super kick. Storm says he will be glad to fight Bobby Roode, but Roode says he's done fighting Storm, that there's nothing in it for him at this point, unless, wait for it, Storm is willing to put up his number one contendership in the brawl. And this is where Lindsay starts yelling at the TV, don't you dare fucking do it. Of course, I read the spoilers days ago, actually on Monday night, right before we went on the air.
when told not to, by the way. We warned her.
I was already at the page when you told me not to.
There's an X button at the top of your screen. Just saying.
Since when do I listen to any of y'all?
Apparently you don't.
I only have to listen to Omega. And even then it's a question. Anyway, Storm says he's not willing to do that. He's worked too hard to put the spot on the line. And then, of course, Rude attacks Storm's manhood and tells Storm that when his daughter is 18, have her give Rude a call, and he'll show her what a real man is. Storm immediately gets pissed off, of course, and he accepts Rude's challenge. And Taz says that Rude has once again worked his magic.
So, yes, later on tonight, in a minute, it'll be Bobby Roode and James Storm. God, James, you idiot.
You lovable idiot. And do we want to save the rant on this for after the show, or just do it now?
It's your show. You don't listen to me, so why, you know. Go for it.
I'm going to spoil it now. Storm loses the number one contendership.
No.
What? Why do they keep doing this? Why do they keep making Storm the number one contender, and then they either screw him out of the title, or he loses the number one contendership? I don't understand this. Somebody please explain this to me.
Because he's always the bridesmaid, not the bride?
He must be. I mean, as much as I love Bobby Roode, and I do love Bobby Roode, I don't want to see Roode versus Hardy.
And if that was the plan, why not have Bobby Roode win on Sunday?
Yeah, seriously. You could have Bobby Roode pin AJ Styles, and it would have worked just as well. I mean, honestly speaking, I was actually interested to see Jeff Hardy versus James Storm, because you could do where Storm is seeking redemption of his own, Hardy's already got his, and they could make this personal, especially with the aggression that Storm has shown lately.
Right. This show felt like, let's revert back to things we've done in the past.
Yeah. I mean, they did the same thing when Jeff Hardy won the Bound for Glory series. They had him put it on the line against Bully Ray, and we're like, oh, okay, so what they're going to do is they're going to have Bully Ray win, and then Bully Ray's going to go on to face Aries. No! Y'all screwed up. You should have had Bully win and Storm win. Oh, no. No. We're not going to do that.
Nope. We're not doing that.
Things that make our thinking things hurt.
Yes. Anyway, moving along. Backstage, we had Hulk Hogan talking about how bad he felt for AJ Styles. But, you know, basically said, AJ Styles has been treading water for the last couple of years, and that's just how it was. He's bringing it on himself, basically. He's, you know, treading the waters in TNA. And honestly, he's kind of right.
He's kind of right, honestly.
AJ Styles has been treading water a little bit. After that, we come back from break. We have a little bit of a recap of what happened to Sting last week. And then we have the Aces and Eights backstage, and Doc was defending what he had done to Sting, and Joseph Park has a reason to be allowed to stay as a part of the group. The VP said he would find out later on at night what the club voted on, but for now he had a turn in his vest. And it took Doc a while to give away the vest. And then Devon took a little dart, threw it at the board to pick their next victim. And his quote was, "That prick deserves it."
And they all laugh while Chaos has a little sad.
Yes, he had a little sad at that point.
Actually, can we just keep calling him Steve?
Okay, we can call him Steve. I thought we were calling him Chaos.
No, that's fine, call him, but it's... I like Steve better. I don't know why. Steve was his original name. He shall have Steve.
Okay, we'll continue to call him Steve the Armbreaker.
Okay. Or
is he now Steve the Hammer Swinger?
I think we just go with Steve.
Okay.
Just easier. Steve, insert title here. Okay.
MC Steve?
MC Steve, there we go.
Can't touch this. Anyway, moving along.
To your first contest of the evening, where you have Kid Cash versus RVD. Honestly, I don't remember this match, and I feel really bad saying that.
It was a match. It was RVD got his spots in, Kid Cash sold, RVD retained the title.
Pretty much.
That's all it was. Kid Cash didn't even get an entrance, so, you know, he was there to job out, and it was a title match. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me the logic of how Kid Cash got a title match when he has been on TV in forever.
He's Kid Cash.
That's not a reason.
Oh, I know why I don't remember this segment. Because afterwards is our favorite power couple in TNA. That's right. ODB and EY.
Woohoo!
They're in the back. And EY is ecstatic ecstatic about his outdoor adventures, I should say. And he's telling ODB all about them. He says that's in the past, and right now he knows ODB are awesome. Young is going to take care of Jesse, and ODB says she's going to become number one contender for the Knockouts title. Young wants ODB to think about the celebration after they win tonight, and then they start sharing tongue.
Eric Young is getting a lot of action for his supposed last few days with the company. Just saying. He's been back on TV twice, and he's been making out with ODB the entire time.
That's a bad thing?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying he's making most of his time. That's all. He's just making most of his time.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to go out. Just saying.
Yes. After this stage, we had Kurt Angle, and he was talking with Garrett and Wes Briscoe as he was looking for a partner tonight to fight the Aces and Eights. He ended up choosing Garrett Bischoff over Wes Briscoe, but said he has some major plans for one Wes Briscoe.
No, say it right. Wes Briscoe in his extremely pink shirt.
You're the fashion person, not me.
I'm sorry, that had glare even on my TV. It was hot pink. And I mean hot, like on fire to the point of melting pink.
And honestly, I didn't notice the color of his shirt at all.
Sorry, maybe it's just me, but it's just like glaring in your face. Oh my god, that color does nothing for him, pink.
I really didn't notice the color of his shirt.
By the way, Wes, if you're in the sound of my voice, which you're not, you already have a tag team partner. His name is Cassidy Riley. His website, CassidyRiley.net. Go visit it.
Wow.
Give him a call.
Wow. You worked that one in.
Thank you.
Proud.
Thank you. As Mace is just sitting there rolling his eyes.
No, Mace is watching other things. It's okay. Continue with your recap.
Okay.
Yeah, Mace didn't see the show tonight.
No. But anyway, afterwards, Angle picks Garrett, and Wes is very disappointed. He has a sad Wes Briscoe.
Yes.
But up next, we have Tara and Jesse out for Jesse's match. And then, of course, we have our favorite heroes, ODB and EY, come out for your next contest of the evening, Jesse versus Eric Young. And, God, I love Eric Young.
All right. His version of hawking up is when he takes off his shorts to reveal his undershorts.
Yeah.
Is it me? But isn't Eric Young Canadian?
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird that he was wearing red, white, and blue stars and stripes American underwear?
No.
Okay, it seemed odd to me, he's Canadian. And he was all stars and stripes.
I think he lost the right to wear the Canadian stuff when Team Canada broke up.
Okay. Just saying. But anyway, Eric Young, very entertaining.
I loved how he kept trying to wrestle the ref.
Yes. But sadly, our, awesome Eric Young kind of, lost.
Yeah, they lost to Jesse. Boo.
Boo. Boo. Should not have happened. Jesse won. Boo.
Boo. Anyway, up next, you have the Knockouts Battle Royal with 5 people.
Yeah,
and they're all
right?
In the back,
like,
prepping.
5 people for a battle royal. Ooh.
They had the entire Knockouts division made it on TV tonight.
Yeah.
And it's 6 people.
Yeah.
That's sad. Anyway, and then of course we have Magnus prepping for his match with Joe, which is coming up next. But before that, we have one Joseph Parks, who's, a little worse for the wear. He's all bandaged up and got a black eye and limping and crying out in pain. The poor little thing, he needs a hug. But he wants one more match with the Aces and H's. One more. He knows he can get him, and he's pleading with Hulk Hogan for it. But Hogan says Park is beaten, bloody, and screaming. Hulk just can't do it. He slams the table and says his job is on the line because Park is a liability. Park says Hogan needs to ignore the outside and look at the man on the inside. Hogan calls Park in insides a warrior, but he has no training. The answer is no. And then, of course, we get the most brilliant idea ever so far.
So far.
Park asks Hogan if he means he should go to wrestling camp. Park says he's going, and Hogan says no. He says he's not meant for the business. Not at all, but Park says he's gonna do it. He's gonna go to wrestling camp. He's gonna enroll. And when Hulk sees him next, he's gonna be ready to wrestle. And Park walks away all confident, saying it's a great idea, and Hogan says he won't be back.
Oh, Joseph Park is going to wrestling camp. I can't wait.
I want to see these vignettes. I want
maybe
to see them
now. Maybe he can go to the British wrestling boot camp that TNA are running. Cross promotion, maybe.
Ooh.
Or as Lindsay suggested,
Bully Ray.
Or, oh no, he goes to Bully Ray and then works his way in hell.
Gut check. Yes, this is our brilliant theory. Joseph Park tweeted out right after the segment, "Does anybody know any good wrestling trainers?" is pretty much what he said. And I immediately thought of Bully Ray.
So did I.
And we tweeted that at him. I doubt he saw it. But then the theory is, okay, this is how Joseph Park is going to get his match with the Aces and Eights. He's going to go to wrestling camp. He's going to get trained. And then he's going to work his way onto Gut Check. They'll storyline him in where he becomes part of the TNA roster, and then Hogan has no choice but to give him the match with the Aces and Eights.
I like it. I really do. I like this idea.
I love this idea. Because we all know the gut check segments are worked anyway.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But anyway, after this point, it's up next, our television championship match. It will be Magnus taking on Samoa Joe. Magnus makes his way to the ring. But from behind, that dastardly Devon hits him with a baseball bat right to the leg. Then the Aces and Ace continue to attack Magnus. They held him down for Steve, so he get him both knees with the hammer. Devon was about to hit Magnus in the head with the bat, but Bully Ray ran out and chased them away. We have an injured Magnus.
I hope to God that's a rubber hammer. Because if they legit popped him in the knees, oh my God. Because did you see Gallo's face after he did it?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, shit.
So yes, we have taken Magnus out of action. Why, you ask? Who knows? One reason, he's a commentator for British Boot Camp.
And he screams like a woman, just saying.
So yes, they've taken Magnus out of action. For now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then after this, we get more headspace with Jeff Hardy, or being Jeff Hardy, would take your pick. Austin Aries is in the back, and they're asking him how he's feeling. Aries removes his shirt to see all the welts and bruises on him, but he says that he has a massage and claims to not be done with Jeff Hardy. But as Aries walks into the massage room, Hardy's sitting right there. Aries says Hardy beat him in a specialty match. He says he is the standard, and Austin Aries brought greatness out of Jeff Hardy. Aries tells Hardy the feud isn't over because Hardy still has the title, and then Hardy, of course, narrates as Austin Aries walks away. Hardy says Aries has raised the level but will never reach his dimension. And I love how the recapper puts in here, I don't know who thinks this is a good idea. I'd like to point out, none of us can reach Jeff Hardy's dimension because it's a completely different altered state that's illegal.
Except in some states.
Yes. If you go to Colorado or Washington, you can reach Jeff Hardy's dimension.
The recapper I'm reading goes, I liked what they did with Aries and Hardy, which I agree. That was good. It was good. Good back and forth. Good Aries talking. Right up to the stupid internal monologue thing they are doing with Jeff. Wrestling does not need to be more TV-like. It needs to be more realistic, not reality TV to be the best. The internal monologue is dumb, and it's getting dumber by the moment.
Yeah, like the first
Welcome to Days of Our Hardy.
Yes. Like the first time they did it, it was like, okay, this is interesting, it's different, but now that they're doing it every time with Hardy, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched this promo go, okay, now we're gonna get Jeff. And we got Jeff. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's... Every once in a while, when you're not expecting it, it's fine, but every week now where he has an internal monologue... It's kind of stupid. It's like, I don't want to hear what Jeff Hardy is thinking. I really don't. Partially because God only knows what he's thinking.
I'm just waiting for the day we get the cheesy music and the dame walked into my bar. She looked like she was trouble. But then again, I'm Jeff Hardy, the gumshoe.
Of all the women in all the world, she had to walk through my door.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just... Oh, dear me. Anyway, Angle and Garrett make their way to the ring for the next match. And then, of course, we return with the Aces and Eights crappy music. Devon leads a pair of masked men and Steve to the ring. They discuss their game plan. Devon chooses a masked dude to be his partner, and they get rushed by Angle and Bischoff.
This match was Alright.
It was what it was, and it did what it needed to do. I still maintain that, per our discussion last week, that Aces and Eights should not be wrestling. They should be fighting.
Yeah, I agree.
And especially since you had Garrett and Kurt pick up the win after Wes Briscoe comes in with a pipe and chases the extra Aces and Eights members away, which, of course, will win TNA's trust in him more. Hint, hint, wink, wink. It just, yeah, the whole thing is stop making them look weak and just have them come in there and continue to kick ass. And they're not doing that.
No, right. They're making them, they're wrestlers.
They're meant to be like the equivalent of a bikie gang. Strength in numbers. Always taking the cheap road. You know, that's the type of attitude that they came in with. And as Rock just said, they're now just roster members.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much killing the angle so quickly that it's making my head spin.
Yeah, it was actually a good idea. It was it was interesting how they were doing it. And now that they've just made them roster members, it, like I said last week or whatever, whenever we had this discussion the last time, they need to continue to kick ass. They need to continue their struggle for power, where they're going against Hulk Hogan, they're going against Dixie Carter, they're threatening the establishment. Now it's like, oh, we got our way, we got into TNA. They really have no direction. We're just going
to... They need to be doing, like, Matt Morgan's attitude.
Right.
Matt Morgan's attitude at the moment is, fuck you, Hulk Hogan, I'll do what I want. That should be the entire Aces and Eights.
They're trying to fit in rather than be different.
Yeah. And it's just, I wish they would make them more badass again. It's like, attacking Magnus was a good start. Like, that just made them look completely fierce when they attacked him. But then you have them lose to Bischoff and Angle and look like bitches doing it. It's just, eh.
Anyway,
moving on. Obviously, Bischoff and Angle pick up the win after Wes Briscoe picks up the save.
Yes. Then we have everyone's favorite Hollywood couple, Jesse and Tara, walking around backstage talking about other Hollywood couples like Brad and Angelina. They go, and they're up at Brooke Hogan's office, and they were deciding whether they should knock or just walk in. Well, they just walk in, and well, they walked in on Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray, sitting really close to each other on the couch. Bully Ray jumped up and was really surprised, and quickly left. Brooke adjusted herself and then asked Tara what she wanted. Tara said Brooke was supposed to consult her before making decisions in the Knockouts division. Brooke said Tara was supposed to knock on doors and told her to get lost. Basically, Tara talked about how, she found out about the Battle Royal on Twitter. Tara suggested Brooke should learn how to lock a door if she wants her privacy.
Next up,
go
we have...
Bully, you player.
Bully Ray is getting some with Brooke Hogan.
Is it going to help his deal with her dad? But anyway...
Apparently, there's going to be footage. It's not been on any spoilers or anything, but apparently they filmed footage of them out on a date a couple weeks ago that has yet to air on TV.
Wait. Are they going to... say it's a business meeting, and are they going to film it from a hotel room from two completely different angles without any time or date stamp marks that you'd usually find on a security tape?
Yeah.
Bully Ray with just a pair of shorts on, putting a sign on his door.
Those sort of things. Anyway, moving along.
I'd just like to point out, make out with him, girl. He's a good kisser. Anyway. Don't ask me how I know that.
No. We'll save that for later.
Yeah, we'll save that for later. Anyway, we are up next with Dixie Carter in a really ugly hat. And she's basically talking about that she and AJ have been through a lot this year, and they had a choice to move forward, and she has, but Styles chose to stay back. She doesn't know what's going on with him. He says he's down and he's unfocused. And she's not entirely sure what the title embargo will do to AJ. Styles.
Yes.
Not Lee.
Right. Then we have our battle royal of five people.
Yes.
One, two, three.
The least they could have done is bring in other women.
That said, it was a better battle royal than we see on WWE TV.
Oh, it was actually really pretty good. I mean, but look at who you had in the ring. You had Gail Kim. You had Mickey James, and you had ODB as the people that could carry the match, with Madison Rayne and Tess Macker as kind of the fluff.
No comment there. My dirty mind. Anyway.
Bad rock. That's a bad rock.
Hey, you said it.
Well, Tess Macker is fluff. Just saying.
I'm not, you know, you said, forget it. Move on. Move it
this
on.
Was actually, this was a very good battle royal for women. It's way better than WWE would ever do it. Solid match. Lots of back and forth. And your winner is by eliminating Gail Kim, is the hardcore country chick herself, Mickie James.
Mickie James is back, and we should mention that she was out of action for a while, as she had, a growth removed or something?
Yeah, she had some kind of growth that they believed to be cancerous. I don't know where it was removed, but it is in fact benign. She's cancer-free, and she looked great.
She did.
She looked absolutely wonderful, so it was wonderful to see Mickie back. And looking forward to some pretty awesome matches between her and Tara.
Agreed.
Afterwards, we have James Storm getting interviewed, and the guy asks if Storm knows he raised the stakes. Storm says, of course he does, and it's time once and for all to take care of Bobby Roode. He was going to continue, but a very emo AJ Styles walks by and stares at Storm. Afterwards, Storm says he's done, and AJ Styles is up after the break.
As we come back from commercial, we had a little bit of meeting with the Aces and Eights. The VP told Steve, you know, to basically not let the door hit him on the ass on the way out. Steve was really pissed off. And he takes his time and starts to leave. But when he opens the door, what's standing in front of him? But another man holding up his vest.
His official Aces and Eights vest.
He's back in the group.
And then, of course, they all celebrate and they all have a happy.
That was a well-done segment. It was.
It was. It was a great tease. It was actually longer than what we recapped it. It was, what, probably 3 or 4 minutes?
2 or 3 minutes, I would give it.
Where you had a very, very, very intense stare down between Steve and everybody else in the group. And it looked like for a second he was going to go postal and smack a bitch. And then he gets up and he walks out, and there's the vest waiting for him.
Going back to when he gave him the vest, it was like, you know, the Letterman jacket you would get, you know, when you made a sports team, you had to give it up.
Yeah.
That's the way the opening segment felt. And this was, you know, he's back on the team. Woohoo!
Well, you would hope so after he pop somebody in the kneecaps with a freaking hammer.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so.
You would hope so. But after this, AJ Styles is up, and AJ basically comes out, cuts a very emo promo about how he's had a down year. It's probably the worst year of his career. He recaps the fact that he can't win a world title until Bound for Glory 2013, that he's been sleeping around with Dixie Carter, that he got accused of having a baby with a crackhead. Yes, those are his exact words.
Yeah, I think, did he say crackhead or crack whore?
Crackhead.
Crackhead, okay.
But the worst part of it all is that some people doubted him. And he just can't say stand that, and that he is thankful for nothing this year. Which, dude, you still got your health, you still got your family, and you still got your kids. Deal. He also comments that he was points away from wrestling at Bound for Glory for the title, and now he can't win the belt at all. But this brings out something that we're all very thankful for.
It's the former, or I should say, the real world tag team champions of the world, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels.
Yep, that's right. It's Appletini time.
Woo!
Daniel says AJ is a crybaby, and despite that, every word AJ just said was accurate. This is the worst year of Styles' career. Daniel says the source of all of AJ's problems can be found by looking in the mirror. He calls AJ a broken, flawed little man. AJ Styles is nothing but a complete and utter failure. Styles says he's beaten Christopher Daniels a lot more than Daniels has beaten him. Daniels has nothing to back it up, and he needs a reminder. Styles says he and Daniels should fight one last time to find out who the better man is. Kazarian cuts Styles off and says Daniels has nothing to gain from wrestling with AJ. AJ is stale. Meanwhile, Kazarian and Daniels are riding high and on top of their game. They're the real world tag team champions of the world. Daniels disagrees and says this is the perfect time for Daniels Styles. Daniels says they're going to find out who the real failure is, and I cannot wait.
Yep. Again, it feels like they're as good as the segment was. That was good. They're reverting back to stuff they've already done.
Well, it's kind of the end of the year. I have a funny feeling that they don't want to necessarily, especially right around the holidays with Thanksgiving next week. They probably don't want to press forward with a lot of stuff right now.
Oh, I understand.
And I imagine what they're going to do is we're going to get the new stuff starting in December.
If not January, when they're back fully live.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now, it's. I think they're just doing stuff just to get through to January, possibly. So, yeah. But you know what? Daniel Styles is going to be a solid match. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. I have no doubts about it. It's going to be really good. It just seems like we're reverting back to things. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But after this, Austin Aries says he's finally found out the buttons to push to make things happen around TNA, and he says next week he's going to call someone out to make things happen, because next week is Open Fight Night.
Ooh, who's he going to call out? Stay tuned.
I don't know, but I'll be DVRing it because I'm going to be in a turkey coma. And speaking of Open Fight Night, all the previous Gut Check winners will be back in the Impact Zone, and anyone can be called out at any time, a.k.a. we're not going to bring anybody in because it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, anyway. At this point, speaking of Open Fight Night, we have in the backstage, we see Bruce Pritchard, Al Snow, and D'Lo Brown talking. Kurt Angle walks up and basically pitched Wes Briscoe for Gut Check. Pritchard said there's a process. But, you know, D'Lo, you know, says he's a blue chipper and all that fun stuff, and Angle says Taz was on board with it. And D'Lo likes the idea, and, well, Angle ran off excited while Pritchard kept saying there was a process.
I love how Snow says we really shouldn't be letting Taz make these decisions. That was amazing.
Good line. That was a good line. So, yes, Wes Briscoe is going to the Gut Check next week.
I'm just curious. Can't Angle just get Briscoe a job on the roster?
Apparently
not. He's Kurt freaking Angle.
Apparently not. He wants to make sure Wes Briscoe earns it, I guess. Either way.
Okay.
Either way. Wes Briscoe in the ring next week. Who will he face? Tune in and find out. But now it's your main event. The number one contendership for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Bobby Roode. James Storm.
And a great match.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. And of course, Bobby Roode wins.
of course, he wins it in one of the worst way possible, which is he slams Storm's head into an exposed steel turnbuckle, and then he rolls Storm's up for the victory while holding the tights, by the way, to injury.
Yes.
I wish they would quit doing this to Storm. I really do. I don't want to sound like Alan, but Storm deserves a title shot. I understood when they took it away from him at Bound for Glory because it's okay, rude. Storm doesn't need the title to be involved, but Storm deserves a title shot.
Yeah, he does.
Deserves to hold the title for longer than 3 days.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what they're doing with him. It's getting annoying.
I mean, this is a guy that has busted his ass for this company for over 10 years, or for 10 years at this point. And yeah, you did give him a belt, but you gave it to him for 3 days, and it was pretty much done the ass backwards way. So yeah, I would really like to see a feud with him, and I don't know. Maybe they're gonna have. I hope they don't do what I think they're gonna do, which is they have Rude take the belt off of Hardy. I doubt they are. But you have Rude take the belt off of Hardy, and then you rekindle the feud between James Storm and Bobby Rude.
I hope not. See, that's going back to, let's hope they not do that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was interested to see Hardy versus Storm just to see what they would do with it.
By the way, what did you think of the show being taped?
Didn't bother me.
I don't know, it had a different feel for me. I don't know, something seemed off. I like the live aspect. And I know I read the spoilers and all, but I really didn't read them. I just knew what was coming up. But it's like, it was missing some... The crowd didn't seem like it was into it as much as it is when it's live.
Well, I don't know. It seemed the same to me. It felt the same. It's honestly, I didn't think of it as, oh, this is taped. I just kind of sat here and watched it. So, but yeah, I mean, it definitely is. There weren't the production flaws, obviously, and there weren't. I think maybe what was missing was it was maybe in the talent where it wasn't as important because it wasn't live.
Yeah, it just feel like they knew it wasn't live, and that I don't know, that was a little bit of a problem for me. The show itself was all right, solid show. I'm wondering, curious about some of the booking stuff, but yeah, it just seemed a little off to me.
Better than Raw.
Well, duh.
But, I mean, honestly, how many times have we said that lately? TNA has been better than Raw. It's been better than SmackDown. It's been better than the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Survivor Series is not going to be as good as Turning Point was. And by the way, if you have not seen Turning Point, go watch it. It's a great show. They did a wonderful job with it.
Yes, and if you actually heard our review on Sunday, I don't know how you did, but if you did, thank you for listening to it. And then we put it over big time.
Because I think the thing is with TNA is they've become a very enjoyable product to watch.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable show. I will say that. It's very enjoyable.
I will also put it this way, that as I pointed out on WTR on Sunday night when we were discussing Turning Point, we had Spug. For anyone who knows Spug, he is not a very big TNA fan. He watched at least 3/4 of the pay-per-view, and he actually said, I am enjoying wrestling for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
When you have people who don't watch the product, suddenly watch the product and go, I'm enjoying this over Raw or anything that WWE has produced in the last 6 months, you know you're doing a good job.
Yeah, TNA is starting to fire on all cylinders. And the product is becoming what it really should have always been to begin with. Yes, there are some questionable booking choices, but who doesn't have questionable booking choices? I mean, overall, the product is very, very good and it's very well done. And it makes me happy that they're a good alternative to WWE. And it's showing because the ratings keep going up.
I wouldn't use that argument because their ratings go down too.
Their ratings go down too, but from what I've been seeing consistently, their ratings have been slowly growing. I didn't check Impact for last week.
They're steady at where they've always been. There hasn't been really much growth.
But they're not losing.
No, they're not losing, but they're not really gaining either. They're solid.
Well, you know what would help them gain? It's called advertising. Just pointing that out. They're not at the level where they're a household name like WWE is, where Vince doesn't necessarily need to advertise his product.
Correct.
TNA is still in that stage where they need to be advertising, and not just on Spike. They need to have web ads. They need to have stuff out on, like, the digital menus for Comcast and Dish and Direct and all that stuff. They need to have commercials. They need to have all that stuff. And I understand they may not have the budget for it. But just something, anything would help to bring more awareness to that product.
But speaking of commercials and stuff...
it's time for our next break.
About your damn luck.
So, as James Storm plays us out, you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And when we come back, we have our Tweet of the Week. We're probably going to go over a little bit of Turning Point since we just put it over. And, of course, we've got SmackDown and Survivor Series Pick'em. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio's high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Ain't brushed them teeth since 1984.
that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
E-Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to five times NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Arnett Pierce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com. Go click the banner at the top of the website and go to their website, order some awesome headsets. If you put in the code WILDTALK, it'll save you about 33%, which ain't bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's a great deal. Take advantage of it.
So before we get into all the recaps and the pick'em, I think we're going to do our most favorite segment on the show, which is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, I'm gonna let, well, let's see. Mace, do you have tweets?
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing? Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to let Rock go first then, because I think he actually has audio tweets.
I have audio tweets too, but I'm going to throw out a couple first. First, JR, awesome. Thank you for responding the other night. Because we were having a discussion, I think it was on air, maybe. Either way, I tweeted at him, what would be fun is to hear JR's JR and JBL call the Red River Rivalry, and his response was, "We could handle it."
Damn right.
Exactly.
Just get Taker.
Yeah. Former TNA Knockout Taylor Wild was on Twitter. She said, "Just found out a banana monitor is an actual job, not my job, but a job." Which Samoa Joe replied, "There is a lewd joke in there somewhere. Not a very creative or funny one, but there is." She responded, "Just slowly walk away from it. You are better than the banana joke." Samoa Joe finally finished with, "You will not win today's seventh grade humor." I found that funny.
That's awesome.
But now we have some video tweets. Yes, video tweets, because somebody is now on the Twitter.
The Boogeyman?
No.
Okay.
Well, I actually think he is, but no, it's Jake the Snake. So take a listen to this.
I'll show you how to use Twitter.
Oh, boy.
This is called Google Chrome. That's the browser.
Okay, how do I get there?
It's the same way with the typing tool. You just navigate over it, you double click it.
All right.
Twitter, which is TWITTER.
I can spell, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to use this goddamn thing, but I can't spell.
Okay, we got you right here. Okay.
Well, give my glasses. Give my glasses over there. Glasses. Be honest. Might as well look at it. Well, Randy Orton following me? Piece of shit. No, sorry.
He's not following you, but you can follow him if you want.
I don't want to follow him. I know where he's going.
Okay. Well, here's the basic. This is what's called your tweets or your timeline, which is what people that you are following are tweeting now. Right now, you're only following DDP Yoga.
Why in the hell am I doing that?
You don't have to follow anybody if you don't.
I don't want to follow anybody.
Okay, you just want to tweet.
Jesus Christ.
Like, say, for instance, if you want to reply to this guy, he says, wish you the absolute best in your comeback.
Life's a bitch, then you die. I can read, dude. It's amazing. I can fucking read and I can spell. Let me just read it to you. If I lay it on your shoulder, it'd be different. And I'm not a sucker.
Okay, like, say you want to reply to this guy, to what he has to say.
Uh-huh.
You just scroll your little mouse down here and bring it over his tweet.
What, then reply?
Scroll your mouse pointer over his tweet, and then it will give you these options right here.
Right, where one says reply.
Right.
So I can actually scroll down to reply.
Yeah.
And push once or twice.
Once.
Okay.
And then it brings up this little thing where you type. You're typing to him and mm-hmm. Real DDP. So if you want to say something to him, you can, but you don't have to. We can just keep going from here.
But I got to type it if I say something, right?
Yes.
See, that's the hard part. I'm just learning how to type.
But you don't have to tweet anything to him yet. We can go ahead and just type a regular tweet.
How about if I just, like, push a bunch of buttons and he won't know what the fuck I'm talking about? That'd be cool. Okay, I just tweeted.
There you go. He just tweeted
this guy. Hey, guys, come look at my first tweet. This won't mess that guy's head up. Look, he's going to try to figure that shit out for a month.
Now, if you want to tweet... Now, if you want to get back to your regular timeline...
What do you mean timeline?
Timeline is where, you know, just people who you're following, which...
I'm not following anybody.
You're following Dallas and DDP Yoga.
That's rumored. That's just a nasty rumor.
Would you like to follow me? Okay. Well, if you want to just tweet something in general... Like,
okay. How can I tweet, say, somebody I like, we think?
We can find somebody that you like.
God, there is nobody I like. I'll tell you why I put on glasses. So I can see.
Okay.
I'll tell you why I'm doing yoga. So I can help my body. Okay?
Okay.
Get in shape. So I can move. I can get up and down. And I can pick things up off the floor without having to get on my knees and do it. And then I have to have anybody pick me back up. But the big question that the whole world needs to know, I don't give a shit what they need to know, but I do need to know something myself. What am I doing this shit?
Well, this is really a great way to connect with...
really a great way. How about a fucking phone?
Well, you can't connect with your friend or with your fans all by phone.
I could if I wanted to talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. They're my fans. I don't need to hate.
Well,
why am I tweeting?
Now, click up here. I'll go ahead and do that.
Don't do it until you tell me why.
I'm just going to show you that.
Don't show me shit. Tell me why.
There's a counter that shows you how many letters you have left.
Why do I need to know that? I can pretty much zoom in and figure out if I'm close to 120.
Well, yeah, but you have to count manually.
No, I don't. Because if I get that close, fuck it. I'll just stop.
He's going to stop.
I'm not writing a letter to my mother.
He's going
to... Or my congressman or the president. Whoever he might be. Can I send one to Obama?
You can. He is on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily him that tweets, but
uh-huh.
He is on Twitter.
Oh, I want to send one to Bieber, whatever.
He wants to tweet Justin Bieber.
Or that's awesome.
Or Bieber, as he called him.
Yeah, the
Poor
Bieber.
Poor old bastard.
Dude, you need to go watch the videos. The videos are better because you literally have him sitting in front of a laptop and it's almost like Shawn Michaels trying to point and poke. It's hilarious.
Oh, God.
I believe his Twitter is Jake, at JakeSnakeDDT. I believe is his Twitter handle.
And he might actually respond.
Maybe.
He won't. He thought, I don't fucking do my fans. Fuck. He doesn't give a shit. Are they paying for his rehab? No, he don't give a flying fuck.
But yeah, so it, go
he sounds
to
like Tim on a cranky day.
But yes, I found those this afternoon and I had to show her off because like this is awesome.
Yeah, we had to put that on the air.
But mine come, or are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good.
Okay. Mine come from the one, the only AJ Lee, because we're fans of hers on this show. Apparently, hashtag slap by AJ Club was trending yesterday. Hilarious. I'm proud of you wonderful weirdos. And then, of course, dear people who wear rhinestones on their jeans, I do not understand you. And that's all I got.
That's all you got. So that's our tweet of the week.
Yes. And if you'd like to submit tweets to us, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward, and we will be happy to read your tweets on the air. You can also send them to media@wildtalkradio.com, because we do give people shout-outs on the show.
We do. We do, because it's for the fans.
And that's all we can say, because the rest is gimmick infringement. pretty sure it's copyrighted.
Probably not copyrighted. You know, they were cheap fucks back then.
Anyway, so we're just going to run down the turning
what
point
changed?
Result. I don't know, dude. I really don't. We're just going to run down.
I'm sorry. Did I say something bad again? Am I going to get ranted at?
Dude, I hope you do, because that was entertaining as fuck.
Controversy creates cash.
Exactly.
Mace, don't make me send you to the corner for 5 minutes.
Although we'll let you take your Nintendo with you if you do. Your 3DS.
Yay.
So we're just going to run down...
Currently playing Sleeping Dogs at the moment. Just killing time.
By the way, are we, since you didn't ask it, are we doing WWE 13 later?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so stay tuned for the show whenever we end, because we're going to burn through a bunch of stuff in the next half hour, probably.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, we're just going to read through the TNA Turning Point results really quickly. If you want to hear the full
stuff
review...
Stuff happened, people won, people lost.
Yeah, pretty much. If you want to hear the full... view of the show, tune into last Sunday's Wrestle Talk Radio in the archives. You can hear us talk fully about the show. We went at length with it. We're very positive on it, as you heard before we went to break. We were very positive on it. It was a fantastic show. If you have an ability to catch a recap of it or a replay of it, definitely check it out. It's well worth the watch. And there really wasn't a low match on the card.
No, there wasn't.
I'm sitting here looking at the matches trying to figure out what would have been the worst match on the card, and honestly, there really isn't one that stands out to me.
So run down the show for us.
So, in a no DQ match for the television championship, Samoa Joe retains against Magnus. ODB and Eric Young defeat Tara and Jesse in a highly entertaining match. That was one of my favorites. Rob Van Dam retains his X Division Championship against Mr. Sleazy himself, Joey Ryan. Steve from Aces and Eights defeated a very valiant Joseph Parks after he tried.
Yes, we saw a little of someone we used to know come out of Joseph Park in that match.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of Abyss. And then, again, that was probably the best match because we got to see the multiple personalities of Joseph Parks.
Yes.
Sadly and tragically, Chavo and Hernandez defeated your World Tag Team Champions of the World, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, but it was all a conspiracy, and I'm sure they'll get another chance soon. And of course, as we went over on Impact, James Storm won the number one contenders match, AJ Styles took the pin, Kurt Angle defeated D-Von, and Jeff Hardy retained in the World Heavyweight Championship match against Austin Aries.
Right, and as we do shout out, Nathan, who sent us an address today, has won a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs, courtesy of Revolver Entertainment, which we gave away in the TNA version of our Pick'em contest. But guess what? In a little bit, we're going to tell you how you can win a copy of the same DVD in the WWE Survivor Series Pick'em Challenge.
Yeah, and we should point out that, Nathan, no offense, but you're not eligible because it's for the same prize.
Yeah, but if you want to play along, please, by all means, play along.
Oh, yes, play along. We encourage you to play along, but you're going to be not eligible because we don't want to send you another copy of the DVD. So, but yes, so good. He gave you his address. That means I can go to the post office tomorrow.
Yes.
So, for SmackDown.
We have an interesting show on SmackDown.
We do.
And it's basically a lot of hype for the big traditional Survivor Series match between Team Foley and Team Ziggler. Because we see a lot of, combinations of folks involved in those matches compete against each other.
Yep.
We will see in action Kofi Kingston take on Damian Sandow. We will see Randy Orton and The Miz team up to take on Del Rio and Ziggler. Kane takes on Wade Barrett.
Ew, I may actually have to watch.
We have the Divas division in action in a 6 Diva tag team match. Eve, Oksana, and Alicia Fox take on Caitlin, Layla, and Natalya.
So the entire Divas division is on SmackDown?
Minus AJ? Yeah. I think so, sadly. Yeah, I can't think of anyone else.
We're going to have Sin Cara take on Antonio Cesaro. And, of course, Big Show is going to take on a mystery opponent.
That will be a great one.
Yeah, can't wait. And, of course, we'll have more fallout from Big Show attacking William Regal. And what will Sheamus do?
So yes, tune in to Friday night SmackDown. Tomorrow night.
And now we move on to the meat and cheese, which is, of course, the Survivor Series Pick'em. You have up until Sunday at noon to submit your picks. We encourage the fans to play along because, as Rock said, we're giving away a DVD of Bloodstained Memoirs, courtesy of Revolver Entertainment. Thank you very much for that. Way that you do it is we're going to read off the matches we all pick on air. If you're in our interactive chat on wildtalkradio.com, which if you're not, why aren't you? Just go and click on that live button and put in your name or click join and you can join in our interactive chat. We have the awesome Kane Kittens who will write down your pick and then come Sunday he will send that to Rock, I believe, or Tim.
Both of us, yes, we get a copy. So there are no shenanigans.
Yeah, so there are no shenanigans because we play for bragging rights. The fans get to play for stuff. And we announce the winner on air, and then you get a free DVD, and we get to brag.
How about that?
So if you'd like to submit those and you're listening to the archive, you can send that to media@wildtalkradio.com. You can send them to canekittens@wildtalkradio.com. Or you can tweet them to @wildtalkradio, @canekittens.
Or you can join us on our new Facebook group. I started just for interaction purposes. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Sweet.
Yes, I'm starting up a group just to go along with Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's to get you guys interacting with us a little bit more. So we have a Facebook group. So join it.
All right. So for your Survivor Series pick'em, and somebody stall because I have to pull up the match list.
Okay, we'll start from the top that I have from what I remember. It will be the Divas title on the line when Caitlyn challenges Eve for the title. Who you got?
Eve.
I'm going with Eve as well. What about you, Mace?
Toilet.
No, you have to make a pick.
Oh, did I say toilet? I meant Eve.
Okay.
I keep getting them confused. Okay. They pretty much mean the exact same.
Okay. The United States Championship will be on the line when Antonio Cesaro defends against R-Truth. Lindsay.
I'm going with Cesaro.
Mace.
Yeah, Cesaro.
We'll make a clean sweep. Antonio Cesaro keeps the title. It is the traditional Survivor Series matchup. Team Foley takes on Team Ziggler. Lindsay, who you got?
I'm going with Team Ziggler with the caveat that Randy Orton turns on his team.
Mace.
I'm going with I don't give a flying fuck for 500, Alex. other than that, Foley, because why not? Because they like to fuck us over like that.
I'm going with the heels to take this one. Team Ziggler pulls out the victory with Ziggler getting the final pin over The Miz. Up next, it will be the World Heavyweight Championship match. Big Show, Sheamus, once again. Nice.
It's the big slow.
Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. Big Show's going to win.
Yeah. Big Show's going to keep the title. Then in your main event, it's a triple threat match. CM Punk defends against the Ryback and the Cena. The Lindsay, your thoughts?
Punk.
Nice.
Punkus.
Yeah,
punk.
We'll go with Punk on that one. And in our tiebreaker question, because we always need a tiebreaker because we're giving away stuff, it is the YouTube match, whatever it is. I can't think of it. It's the three-man band against Ryder and Santino?
Three-man band.
I'm not 100% sure if that's the match, but I know it's the
It's the Thumb Drive versus Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel.
Okay, Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel. Okay, my bad. For some reason, I thought it was the Cobra. Okay, still, three-man band.
I'm going with the Thumb Drive.
Okay, so there you go. There's your tiebreaker questions.
By the way, Rock, I'm curious. How do you feel about Tim Tebow playing this weekend?
Tim Tebow is playing this weekend?
That's what I'm hearing. Supposedly he's in for the Jets.
I have not heard this news. You're breaking.
That's what I'm seeing on Twitter.
You are breaking news to me at this point. I don't know.
I said everybody was talking about it. I guess he's going for Sanchez. I don't know.
I have not heard this. I have not heard this story. He's not starting, apparently. I know. Some dude came out. Anonymous player came out this week and said Tim Tebow is terrible. One of his teammates said,
"Oh, gee, could his name possibly be Mark Sanchez?" God.
Oh, and he's not even any better. By the way, I want to kill Lindsay because she put this out in the universe. Tell them what you put out in the universe.
Oh. Are you sure you want me to say it?
Yeah, because it's already, I've heard it on another radio show. So put it out there.
Basically, we were talking on Sunday about the quarterback situation in Philly, and I said, you realize what could possibly happen is Philly may dump Michael Vick at the end of the season for another quarterback, and they could possibly trade for someone, and that someone implied was Tim Tebow.
I wanted to hurt her at that point, putting it out in the universe.
I just thought it! I didn't even say it out loud.
But
I thought it, and I take it in Skype.
You thought it. You thought it, and that's the point. You thought it. And then I heard it on Mike and Mike. Mike Greenberg brought it up. I was like, fuck you. Lindsay put it out in the universe, and now it's picked up by Mike and Mike. God.
It doesn't mean it's gonna happen.
I had a sad one. Anyway, that's the Tim Tebow rant of the night. Because Tebow sucks.
Stand by that if Tebow does get traded to Philly, Rock to absolutely implode and come on the air and have the most epic rant ever.
Oh. It will be a pipe bomb. Trust me. It would be a pipe bomb.
But pipe bombs, which is just one of the many things we're thankful for, is... Well, I have to ask this. What are we most thankful for in wrestling?
Before Monday, I was thankful for CM Punk. I was thankful for Paul Heyman for bringing, you know, the classic heel role back into wrestling. I was thankful for that. But right now, not so much. What I'm actually thankful is for is the comedy we get from one Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Oh, screw you. You stole mine.
But I'm also thankful for the quality wrestling we get in TNA. Those are a couple of things I'm thankful for right now. Because next week is Thanksgiving. We're not going to be on the air because Lindsay's going back to Georgia. And it's Thanksgiving. We wouldn't even be on the air anyhow.
Yeah, it's called Thanksgiving. We're all going to be in a turkey coma and pot, and I'm going to be really drunk. So, yeah, it's not going to be good for us to be on the air. So we're kind of doing a mixture of a Thanksgiving show and a regular show this week.
Yes. So, yeah, it's basically, what are you guys thankful for? If you're in the chat room right now, tell us what you're thankful for.
I am thankful for monkeys.
No, in wrestling. What are you thankful in wrestling?
Fucking nothing these days.
Not even the Anger Buddies?
No, because they're fucking that up too. I'm sorry, wrestling is that bad in that bad of a state right now? That, yeah, no. Got nothing to be thankful for. I'm thankful when it's over. Suppose if you want something.
We want something. So, I've given mine. What about you, Lindsay? What are you thankful for?
Even though they're messing it up, I really am thankful for the Anger Buddies, just because I get so much enjoyment out of watching Daniel Bryan and Kane.
It's a great duo.
The fact that you have Daniel Bryan playing Kane's jealous girlfriend when he's teaming with The Miz... And then if you watch main event, the two of them getting into a fight only to have Kane run to Daniel Bryan's defense after he gets attacked is just amazing. The dynamic between the two, the chemistry between the two is just... It's almost indescribably good. And you know it's just them doing it. Like, you can sit there and watch them. Like, if you watch the radio interview that they did a couple weeks ago where they're just sitting there... And they're going off on one another, and they're picking on each other. Mm-hmm. The chemistry is there. And it's just, I'm so thankful for it, because it's one of the few things in WWE that I can enjoy. I wish we got more of it, but I'm thankful that at least it's there and I can see it. And I'm going to be epically heartbroken when they break up. Because I don't want this to end.
Yeah. I don't think any of us wanted to end right now.
And, of course, I'm thankful for all the epic hotness that is in wrestling. I'm not going to name off the names. And thankful for the good wrestling in TNA, the fact that they give us a nice alternative to WWE. And even though he's not on TV right now, The Undertaker. Come back, Taker, and bring your hair with you.
Just saying. But anyway, this will lead us into our basic, our question of the night.
Wait. Did the chat room respond?
They said nothing in wrestling. Cole not being as much of a bitch on commentary. There you go. And Kane Kim's just thankful that Taker may be coming to Phoenix. Don't hold your breath.
Taker's coming to Phoenix?
He's not.
What do you mean Taker's coming to Phoenix?
He's not going to the Rumble.
Dude, if he comes to Phoenix, lock him in a box and send me an email. I'll be there in 12 hours.
Anyway.
What?
No. It's gonna move along.
Anyway, what's our question of the night?
Out of the three men, Bobby Roode, James Storm, and AJ Styles, which man has had the best career in TNA?
And what did the fans have to say?
AJ Styles, 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 AJ Styles. Yeah, everyone. Everyone went with AJ.
As far as the singles career goes, yeah, AJ has had the best singles career. As far as tag team goes, Storm.
But that's not the question. The question is, who's had the best career? Don't go...
Overall. AJ.
AJ.
Yeah, I'm sorry. AJ just... He is the face of that company. And he has been from day one. And he really has carried that company on his back, while you've seen guys like Storm and Roode come up through the tag team division and earn a place in the singles roster. And now finally break into the main event scene. And it took them a while to do that. Whereas AJ has been in the main event scene pretty much for what? 5-6 years now? Longer than that, hasn't it?
He's been in the top tier most of his career.
Yeah. So, without a doubt, AJ Styles. Mace?
Personally, I think Christopher Daniels or James Storm, because they've actually had to work for their shit. They didn't just end up getting, you know, greatness put upon them by the way the company's been booked.
Daniels was not one of the choices.
Oh, I don't give a flying fuck.
That's not the question.
I don't care. Fuck your question, nigga.
Play along.
Don't argue with him.
Play along with the show. Why don't you?
Jeez. No.
So difficult.
Damn fucking right. I suppose if I have to, I'd probably go Storm. Why? Because Storm had to work his way up from, you know, mid-card style tag teams to actually get into a main event. And then, you know, he's earned everything that he's gotten in the company. Whereas AJ Styles still was just, you know, oh, we need somebody to have one of these roles. Quick, put AJ there. He's got nothing else to do. Sure, he may be Grand Slam champion, Grand Poobah or whatever. But, you know what? Titles don't amount to a whole heap of shit in the wrestling business. Sorry to be a fucking realist. There, I played along with your shit. Happy now?
Yes, because I'm agreeing with you, but I'm not. Because my choice is Bobby Roode.
Really?
Yeah. He started as the background player in Team Canada, has worked his way, you know, through the ranks. He worked his way with Team Canada to beer money to becoming a top tier star. It meant something when he was world champion. When AJ Styles held the title, it was a great moment for him to win it, but he never mattered as the world champion. Bobby Roode has. So the evolution of the Bobby Roode character from everyone saying he's a great worker to him now really going on the microphone, a really developed character, yeah, over the course of his career, he's had the best one. Titles aren't the standing, you know, the overall factor, like Mace was saying. So I'm going with Bobby Roode.
I can agree with that. I can see that. So, good choice.
Yes. I was like, everyone's picking AJ Styles, and it's like, yeah, I'm not picking AJ Styles.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, AJ kind of pops to mind just because of...
Right, he pops to mind, and that's why I put out the question, because I wanted to see if people would go, yeah, let's go with AJ, because he's the one everyone thinks of.
Yeah. It's a good question.
So, yes, that was our question of the night. If you always have ideas, media@wildtalkradio.com. We'll talk about anything just about on this show.
Yeah, we may have something to do with zombies coming soon, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, we were too. We want to. Yeah, anyway. Moving on.
Moving on, so. I'm pretty sure, I know Mace got his rant out last night, but is there anything additional you have to gripe about Mace?
I just wish life would stop fucking me in the ass so much. You know? Let me actually gain shit that I'm after in my life. But, you know, life doesn't like to work like that. It's a son of a bitch.
It'll work out.
But yeah, if you want to hear my gripe, then I'm sure there's some sort of stream or something that got a hold of it at some point.
The Twitch player, I think, records it. Although, is it going to record over it when we do WWE 13?
No, if I remember correctly, it records everything and then keeps it on the server for 48 hours.
Something like that, yes.
Something like that, yes. So, okay. Well, Rock?
One. Hey, Comcast, you gonna say I have... you gotta come out here and do jack shit? Like, seriously. No, did I tell you a story? I don't think I told you the story, Mace. I had them come out here, what, was it Tuesday? Yeah, on Tuesday. Come out here, like, to check the modem and stuff. Oh, there's nothing wrong with your line. There's nothing. Great. So what are you gonna do about... nothing. But if the problem continues to happen, we'll come back, we will cut the line you currently have and redo a line for you. Thanks. Appreciate that one. And the guy gave me his own number, too, just to call him, because he will know the problem. Here's the thing. He's not working for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Leave it to Comcast to have zero customer service.
Yeah. And number two. If you say you're going to be if you say you're going to come at a certain time and you don't come for another hour or two after the fact, yeah, pick up a phone and say something. Just saying. I'm done.
Screw you, stupid drivers, and your just sheer will to try and kill me every day. And screw you to some of my art teachers who decided to set shit due while I was out of town. Not cool. Just not even remotely cool. Should be a rule in all schools that nothing is due the week of Thanksgiving. Nothing! And Christmas. Although, most people don't have school on Christmas, but... yeah, that's pretty much my rant.
So... that's the show, then.
That's the show! So, I'd like to extend a big thanks to Mace and Rock for coming on and joining us, as always. Not that Rock really has a choice.
No, I'm here. I'm stuck in the vault.
Yeah, you're stuck in the vault with the rest of us. Tim won't let us out. We're trapped. Help! But, yeah. Yes, so, before we go, Mace, you'd like to plug shit?
Stay on the line, because WWE 13 Attitude Era playthrough will be coming up as soon as we go off the air, or at least probably a couple of minutes afterwards, depending on how much we want to gripe about shit after the show. Mace RDN on the Tumblrs. Mace Singh, Facebook, yada yada, all that shit. Stuff. You know, you should know where to find me by now. If not, check the website, because all the shit's on there anyway.
Okay, Rock.
Tomorrow night, Johnny Cashmere's wake up call at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's good for the direct quote. Yep, Eisenhower show, whatever that means. Tune in. 9 p.m. Eastern for the Wake Up Call with Johnny Cashmere. Saturday night's midnight-ish. It's CB Radio with myself, Art Parks, and Subway. We discuss the weird, wacky, unusual. We play games, we have some fun, and all that fun other weird things. I don't know. It's CB Radio. You should know by now. It's weird, wacky, unusual. Saturday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we recap WWE Survivor Series and whatever else we kind of think of. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, the original show of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Monday night, it's the Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. 3 hours of Raw, it condenses down into 45 minutes, usually, when we all watch it. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik on the program. Will be Kayfabe commentator Sean Oliver and IPW hardcore wrestler Scoot Andrews coming out of retirement for the show. He'll be on KK Wrestling Radio this Tuesday night. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer, Scott Barry, and Cheapwood paneling. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join our group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTRProductions.net. And that's it.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check out everything I do there. Please go to CassidyRiley.net. Check it out. Buy his stuff. He has awesome merches that I'm sure he'd love you to pick up. Of course, check out all the other fine programming on this show. And tune into The Rack every Thursday night, 11 p.m. right here on WildTalkRadio.com. So, for Mace and for Rock, stay tuned for the WWE 13 playthrough post-show. But for us, we are done and we're about to just bullshit on air. So take care. See y'all later. Bye. Drove me crazy, drove me away, then embraced me, forgave me. All of my shortcomings, welcome to my homecoming. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. A lot of fights, a lot of scars, a lot of bottles, a lot of cars, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Made it back, lost my dog.
I miss you, big.
Here I stand, come on, I stand. A better man.
No, better man.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm coming home.
Coming home.
Tell the world that I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Let the rain wash away.
Coming home.
Wildtalkradio.com.